Good morning. Good morning, good morning. Welcome back. It is Tuesday, November, what's the day? The 10th. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast. I'm Tom, issuing a statement. Part of the Social Podcast Networks, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Provided a place for all locals to podcast their little hearts out. And I love it. This podcast is also brought to you by The Nook. Great little restaurant next door. They see the potential. Love those folks. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner located in Painter's Mill, just off of Cave Neck Road. Look for the tent. They built a tent. Just how it goes now. We do what we can do. Now, check them out. Love these people next door. Actually, check out all these places. The Titanic. God, the Titanic is amazing. Amazing pizza. Just really blessed right now. Check out whatever. Sydney's, too. They're good, too. Anyway, good morning. Let's figure out our problems. Well, let me figure out my problems. And I have none this morning. I feel absolutely spectacular. Spectacular. I was feeling a little fat. I struggle, brother. Whew. Food, sugar is a real demon. It is a major addiction. I've been announcing to myself, I've been telling myself over the last week, I'm quitting sugar. Quitting sugar. I don't know, man. It's got me good. It has got me good. And, you know, I'm not fat, but I'm fat. You know, I'm not overweight, but I'm overweight. I'm not unhealthy, but I'm unhealthy. You know, it's all these, it's these voices, and, you know, it's easy to find examples of folks who are a lot worse. If I'm going to try to go, if I'm going to create a list of justifications or, you know, yeah, justifying what I'm doing or how I'm looking, you know, it's not hard. You just got to find other people to point it out. And, but I don't feel healthy. I haven't been eating well. I mean, I've been eating well. Honestly, I don't know what my fucking problem is, quite honest. I'm going through, this is a bad week because it's that week after Halloween. Brutal. And my wife loves these Reese's peanut butter cups. Oh my God. I don't know how many I ate. The other night, I think I ate 4 cups. Individual cups, 2 packages of 2. But I don't know. Maybe that's what overeating looks like for me. I don't know, because it doesn't feel like 2 Reese's cups is going to be the death of me. I don't really, you know, I've been up. I got up this morning. Let me figure it out. Maybe we can figure it out together. I don't understand why I'm struggling so much with my weight. And I'm at that worst point. I'm not really heavy. I need to lose, like, I probably could lose 15 pounds. But I'm not sure what that would even look like on me. And I never lose the right 15. You know, I'm always, you know, I have no ass at all. So right away, my ass falls off. And my jeans fall off. But everything above my jeans line doesn't fall off. My face gets thinner, but it starts to feel like I'm getting rigid, you know, rugged looking and rough and old. So when I lose the weight, I don't feel that great. So then I'm like, well, maybe I don't need to lose weight. I mean, this is the weight I need to be. But when I take that position, all of a sudden I start putting on more weight. So I don't know what to do. I've tried intermittent fasting. So I'm a fucking drug addict, alcoholic, neurotic, mental case person. And I seem to take everything to the extreme. And whether it's a diet or drinking or drugging, it's always to the extreme. And so, you know, I've struggled with all sorts of stuff. Intermittent fasting, I don't know what the, I think 11 hour. It's like go to sleep, all night and then wait another however many hours before you eat again. And I'm like, oh, okay. So the mental case that I am, it ends up starting to be like, you know, 20 hours.
Some people seem so obsessed with the morning, get up early just to watch the sunrise. Other people like it more when there's fire in the sky, worship the sun when it's high. Some people go for those sultry evenings, cocktails in the blue, red and gray. But I like every minute of the day. I dig every second, as long as you're on my mind. Each precious moment has its special charm. It's all right when you're around, rain or shine.
So I'm sick. And it comes out in so many different ways. And so dealing with my how I eat and in the last 52 years, I feel like I've been from one extreme to the other. You know, I've had people that say, oh, you can eat anything you want just in moderation. Then you've had these one meals a day, and then you've had the intermittent fasting, and then you've had, you know, just protein, just meat, gluten-free. I've tried everything. And then you sprinkle in, you know, people around you and different examples, and, you know, I get very lost. So then I'm like, well, let me take a hard look and see what is it that I want? Where would my perfect weight be? And I don't even know what that is, right? I mean, you know, I run with my buddy James. I run with Carlos. We run, I told James the other day, I go, I think the problem is I turned into a man. I went from a kid to a man, and I wasn't paying attention. And a man has a bigger physique. You know, I wouldn't be that guy wearing the 28, 32s, you know. But I don't wear those anymore. And the body is designed for certain things. You know, this is our brain car. This vehicle is designed to drive our brain around. The brain must explore. The brain must try things. The brain must see things. And what better way than a brain car, which is our body, the issue we've been issued. Hi, good morning, sir. Your brain, okay. Well, this will be your standard brain car. Put your brain in it, and off your brain goes. But, the point of the brain car is to have enough energy to move the brain, right? You can't run out of energy. You can't run out of water. You got to feed the car so it can drive the brain. I mean, fat is energy stored. It's a simple process. I just can't seem to put it all together. But if the body... So you would think the less that you eat, the skinnier you would get, the better you would be. But I think what happens is the body, so let's say this brain car you're driving, the vehicle, let's say it's got people inside and they're in there. They're driving the car around. And let's say every day somebody stops by and drops off some food and they get to eat it. They're like, hey, history shows we're going to have more food tomorrow. So burn it all. Party, party. But then there's times where, like when I was doing the intermittent fasting, with the philosophy being that if I gave my body 10 to 12 hours in between eating, that it would start to think that it was hungry or starving, and it would start to... flip the switch and start to eat the fat reserves on my body, on my stomach. Because it's really my stomach. you know, you say no food and it goes, fine, I'll eat what I've stored. That's why I stored it. That's the whole point. I'm going to store this fat so that when I get hungry, I can, you know, if you're not going to give us any food, we have backup. It's funny. We were building a house and I want to put a Tesla roof on there. Tesla makes this solar roof, and it's kind of expensive, and it's, like, not practical. I mean, I don't know. I haven't looked into it that much, but I was watching these people on YouTube kind of giving their testimonials about this Tesla roof, which basically are solar panels, but they're the size of kind of like a shingle. So when they put it on, it looks just like a regular black roof, but in reality, it's all solar panels. But this lady's like, yeah, when they put it in, man, we would constantly watch the app. Because what happens is energy comes into the roof, creates the energy, it comes down, and then it goes in two directions. One, you store it in battery packs that Tesla created. The other direction, you sell it back to the town or the city. So you now become a little bit of a, you're almost like a little electricity small business, and you're selling the energy you're creating back to the city, so you get credit. But this lady's like, oh my gosh, you know, we started learning how to do certain things at certain parts of the day so that we could be more efficient on taking the direct energy and not as much on the batteries. For instance, you know, they had a couple of course, they've drinking the whole Tesla Kool-Aid, so they had the Tesla cars, and they decided they would, and this is all COVID kind of thing, but they were decided that they would charge their cars during the day. Where in typical, you'd plug them in at night, and while you're sleeping, you'd charge your cars. But when you're on this Tesla system, you basically store all the energy throughout the day in a battery pack. Right, and so when the sun goes down, the battery pack supplies the house with the energy. Fat, right? It's kind of like fat. You know, throughout the day, I wish it would be nice to sell my fat off, but you know, throughout the day, you know, I'm eating and I'm doing what I'm doing, and I'm guessing that I'm, you know, using that quick energy, that quick carbon energy for my energy to the food that I'm eating. But when food is low, you know, if we went back 1,000 years ago, we'd get up and I'd be like, all right, you go hunt for berry and I hunt for meat. And off we would go. And some days we'd get it and some days we wouldn't. The days we wouldn't, we would, you know, we would rely on our fat storages. And the days that we would eat a lot and we would store more fat. A skinny, sleek, abs, you know, ripped, no fat person 1,000, 2,000 years ago probably wasn't doing too well. You know, the more money you had, the better off you were doing, the fatter you were probably. You stored up, you wanted to live longer. So, I don't even remember what my point was. It's just the fact is that, oh, I remember. So I was talking about so it's kind of like this Tesla house. And then she talked about how at one point, because they live in San Francisco, of course, and they lost power and they were completely off the grid and they were fine. They were fine. But, you know, if someone came by your vehicle every day and dropped off some food, you'd be like, yeah, of course, let's eat it. But all of a sudden, if you changed that plan and said, we're not coming by, we're coming by once a week, then the people inside the car would start say, you know, oh, they dropped off bread. Save this bread. Don't eat it. Let's save it, as in fat. So sometimes I wonder, the more effort I put into watching what I eat, limiting what I eat, I feel sometimes like I start to get a little fatter. Because I think my body is storing the fat. So what that says to me is now, what I really means is I should eat more. And then the body will get rid of the fat. Oh, that I tried, and then all of a sudden I'm getting fatter. So I don't know what's. I think the problem is that I'm putting desires or how I want to look onto something. I'm not sure it's possible. I don't know if you can be, you know, 150 as a man. I just don't know. I mean, I guess you can. A slender type built, I guess. I don't know if that's even healthy. I mean, I told my buddy James, it's not like we're out cruising chicks. You know, we're married. But we always laugh because we'd like to always say, but if we wanted to, it's good to know that maybe if we had to, we could. But I don't know. I'm struggling. And the other thing that happened is that we had someone in the studio that had that tested positive for COVID. And that was Tuesday. They were in the studio a week ago today, and we found out about it on Saturday. But in the meantime, on Friday, I started having a sore throat. And I'm like, but I didn't know anything about the COVID, right? I didn't know anything. I just started having an itchy kind of an allergy kind of throat where it's like, you know, just weird shit going on back there. I don't even know what's going on back there, but I don't even want to see it. But it starts to kind of make your throat feel sore. And then he calls me. He's like, yeah, I tested positive for COVID-19. I'm like, oh, maybe I have it. So Saturday morning, we had to get up and this whole panic because the kids were away, and we got tested negative, thank God. We had to mail out. It was a rapid negative, and they mail out the other sample they take. And then we'll find that out in a couple of days, hopefully. But I feel great. I felt great the whole time. It's just that sore throat and then that information got me going a little crazy. But, you know, we went out, got tested, and we did test negative. And, but my throat still hurts. So I'm like, maybe I was running a few days and I started to kind of get in my head thinking maybe I wasn't feeling well. I should take a break. And I think what happened is I just had allergies. And so I got up this morning and I ran. And it was a beautiful run. I did 4 miles. I had a nice run. It was great. I just need to do that more often. I just need to keep exercising. You know, not a ton. My problem is I get up, I do it at 6 a.m. and there's a lot of opportunities to back out. But I'm just not really good at doing it at any other time. Like I'm not a midday runner. There's too much shit going on by the midday. Midday. I wanted to read a step. I've read the first step, right? We admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. And I've talked about how, and for me at least, that step is just, it's it. You got to fucking get right in that fucking step or don't even get in. I don't mean drink or do whatever, and if that's what you're looking to do, then I hope not. But, you know, the point is this is it. We admitted, surrendered. We were powerless, surrender over alcohol, that our lives have become unmanageable. And I've always said, it's easier for me to understand sometimes this step if I look at it as we admitted we are powerless over alcohol, that our lives have become unmanageable to other people. To other people. Because in the end, I was okay with my shit. But my family wasn't. My parents weren't happy. People that would come into my life were not happy, couldn't handle it. Nobody liked my life. But I didn't get sober because I was ready to change that. I got sober out of shame and guilt. I've been through it. Okay? But we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives have become unmanageable. It's that real moment of surrender, that real decision to stop what we're doing. Number two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Came and restore, I think, are pretty key there. It's slow. It's slow. And just when you think you got it, you realize you don't, and you realize it's slow. That's why it says it. Came to believe. It's a habit. It's a new habit. It's all about the effort, not the outcome. It's what I believe. That's where the humility is. It's the attempt, not what you're getting out of it. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Came, restore, sanity. I need to figure out what sanity is. I mean, insanity to me is when selves run rampant. I'm insane. I'm in self. I'm in selfity. Same thing, right? For me. When selves run the show, it's insane. But I wanted to read this. I wanted to read this step today. And I think this is a pretty big one. So step number three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. There it is. That's where it gets serious, right? Big boy showed up. I mean, it's all about a higher power. It's all about surrendering. But when we make a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him, I struggle with that still. It's sometimes tough for me to do it in a conscious decision kind of way. I think over the years and over the habit and thinking about it, I do that. But it doesn't happen overnight. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. And I think that kind of, that's that, you know, where we're talking about praying and, you know, where it's about the outcome. It's not about the outcome. It's about the attempt. I think those are all small things. Made a decision. I think early we make decisions that come in and out. I'm doing it. Well, maybe I'm not. I'm doing it. Well, maybe I'm not. And the longer we hang around, I'm doing it. Maybe I'm not. I'm doing it. Maybe I'm not. You know, there's that time period between when we decide we want to do something and actually doing it, and or actually stop doing it, I guess you could say. And I think in the beginning of getting sober, you know, it was based on a meeting, really. You know, good behavior and bad behavior was really based for me on attending meetings and being around people in the program. I've talked about that story about my buddy Matt. He called me and he'd be like, you know, come over and pick me up, take me to a meeting. And I'd drive over there and slouch down in the seat, one hand on the wheel and radio up, unbuckled, no seatbelt. Pull up to his doors, you know, slide up in my seat, get my seatbelt on, turn the music down. I wanted to impress him. I didn't care about being sober. It's funny, in the beginning, I didn't really even care. I mean, I wanted to not feel the way I'd been feeling, but I'm not sure what sober meant. But I also, like, I was really excited about having, like, normal friends. I was really excited about having people that weren't, like, breaking the law. And so to have a friend like Matt, it wasn't about new behavior, so I'm sober. It was about, I want to look good for Matt. And that would be my moments of doing well. But over time, you start to get a little bit better. I think at that moment, I turned my will and my life over to the care of anybody cool. Turn my will and my life over to anybody that's not sober that has some sort of job. And when I was around those people, I acted like I wanted to be like those people. But at some point, we made that decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of a higher power. It's just we start to shrink down that space in between doing well. You know, it's all layers. It's all, you know, it's like a sandwich, right? It's like you need the bread, you need this, you need that, you need this. It's just layers of flavor. And the differences in with sobriety is compared to a sandwich is you could probably eat the sandwich without the lettuce, but in sobriety, you might get away with it for a little while. But unfortunately, the reality is I need this whole program. I need to remember all this stuff. I can't just pick, you know, bread, mayonnaise, and lunch meat on a lettuce, tomato, you know, 500 other 12 toppings, really, I guess, right? Kind of sandwich. I can't have the 12 steps and not do the first one. I can't do the fifth one without really going through the first, second, and third, and fourth. A lot. I mean, I did, when I first got sober, I went through the steps. And then, you know, got sober, supposedly, ended up drinking. Did the steps again. Understanding and realizing how much I didn't understand the steps the first time I did them. How you doing? You want to read it? Let's read a. Let me read a. Let me read a. Daily Reflections. And we'll wrap it up. It's going to be sober out there somewhere. Or not. Whatever. It's up to you. Oh, November 10th. A sense of belonging. I'm going to tell you right now, that was fucking huge for me in the beginning. Just somebody just to recognize me, shake my hand. I'd lived in such a shitty place for so long. You know, until I turned my will and my power over to a higher power in the beginning, that was my higher power, a sense of belonging. I belonged. I felt like I was part of, and I hadn't ever felt that here and there, but it was really cool. All right, so let's read this. Okay, a sense of belonging, November 10th. Perhaps one of the greatest rewards of meditation and prayer is a sense of belonging that comes to us. 12 Steps and 12 Traditions, page 105. That's what it is, belonging. After a session of meditation, I knew that the feeling I was experiencing was a sense of belonging because I was so relaxed. I felt quieter inside, more willing to discard little irritations. I appreciated my sense of humor, and what I also experience in my day practice is that the sheer pleasure of belonging to the creative flow of God's world. How propitious, what the fuck is that word? How propitious for us that prayer and meditation are written right into AA's way of life. Well, I feel a little bit like I understand what that's saying, and I like that because there's also a sense of belonging when you have a little bit of humility in your life. And for me, to pray and to meditate and to really let go and really take advantage of the moment, it requires humility. I have to surrender. I have to let go of a lot of shit, and I find peace. And it's just like running, man. You run, you suffer, and when you're done, you feel like you belong to something, a community. You feel like you want to be involved. You're ready to participate. And I think it's still that struggle between self and humility. And, you know, it's a great reading. Go find it if you want to read it. I hope everyone's doing good. I think that's about all I got for today. Peace.
Some people seem to only live after midnight. Their faces always seem so pale. And in San Diego, they must have sunlight. They say a suntan never fails. I was a man who worked the night shift. I was lucky to get a job and some pay. Now I dig every second. I could laugh in the snow and rain. I get a buzz from being cold and wet. The pleasure seems to balance out the pain. And so you see that I'm completely crazy. I even shun the south of France. The people on my hill, they say I'm lazy, but when they sleep, I sing and dance. Some people go